As we continue in worship this day, we have the opportunity to read upon the scriptures for us for today. We'll be reading from the fifth chapter of Matthew, verses 14 through 16. Just two verses. I guess it's three, 14, 15, 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for this day, for this time to be in worship with one another. Lord, may you speak to us and through me and in spite of me, that our hearts might be changed and transformed, that we might be encouraged as we leave this place to allow your light to shine through us, that others might see our good works and give you glory. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, how about this weather outside? Wow, this is amazing weather this week. It's been a little cooler outside. There was some rain coming from the skies. There was a couple rainbows I saw. I was in Kerrville for a couple days this week, and so I was walking to the breakfast location and saw a rainbow, and it was really cool. One of the things that we like to do in our neighborhood or in the evenings at our house is go outside and play outside for a little while before bedtime, kind of after dinner, before baths and showers and bed. And we like to throw the football, or I've always thrown a frisbee. I like throwing frisbees. The backyard is not big enough for me and my frisbee skills. So we have to go to the front yard, and I like to go kind of in the front yard or in the street, non-busy street, and throw the frisbee as far as I can, give it a real good toss. You know, one of the things that the book, The Art of Neighboring, mentions is moving from the backyard to the front yard. Make yourself visible. I must say that we went out into the front yard into kind of the cul-de-sac area and was throwing the frisbee and the football around this week. And within 15 minutes of us being out there, both neighbors on both sides of us came outside and talked to us. They saw us outside and came out to visit and ask how things were going, how's the move going, one asked, you know, how's the church doing? I said, man, it's great. It's going really well. Moving from the backyard to the front yard works. And yesterday we even put the pickleball net together for the first time in a year, and put that in the cul-de-sac, and we went outside and played pickleball in the cul-de-sac as well. One of the things that the book has been clear about from the beginning is that we are not good neighbors to others in order to convert every person to be like us or come to our church. It says, if evangelism is our only motive, then you won't be a very good neighbor. The book says, we do not love others to convert them. We love others because we are converted. We love because God first loved us. So my phone rings on average, I'd have to look, about six times a day. And I would have to say that five of those six are spam or telemarketers. I know for the most part, if someone needs me, they'll text me first. Some folks still call, and I'll answer it, but for the most part, people text. And I try to answer every call, but I've learned that if there's a hesitation, or if there's a pause, or if there's the first sentence says, you're on a recorded line of security for training purposes, I usually just hang up. Maybe you're like me. Sometimes I'll hear them out, but not often. When a telemarketer or the like calls, they have one purpose, one motive. And that's to get you to agree to buy something or agree to something that they think that you need. Sometimes it's a security system or windows or solar panels. one of those three things, sometimes they can be pretty pushy. So just recently, about 3 weeks ago, I had a call trying to sell me some tickets to a game that I've attended in the past. And so, Mr. Wiki, we're calling to see if you'd like to lock in those tickets to the Alamo Bowl. You can lock in the best prices now. You know what? I think I'll just wait this year. Is there a team that you're looking to play? Well, I usually like to see the Longhorns, but I hope they're not in the Alamo Bowl this year. I think I'll just wait. Well, you know, we have deferred payments and the financing, so you can pay over 4 months. I think I'll just wait this year. Okay, well, I'll make a note of that, and we'll give you a call back next year. Okay, thanks. Well, the note must have not have made it to my name, because this week they called again. Hey, this is Jeremy calling from the Valero Alamo Bowl. I was wondering if you wanted to lock in, secure those tickets for this year's game. Well, I'm not sure if it was you, Jeremy, or if it was someone else, but I think I'm going to hold off right now. I've already mentioned that. Okay, thanks. I'll make a note of that and put it by your name. We'll give you a call next year. We'll see. We'll see if I get another call. You know, pushy people really turn us off. We know that they are seeking for us to react in a certain way, or and people don't like to be pushed or manipulated to think or react in a certain way. And the sad thing is that some Christians have fallen into the mindset that we have to sell Jesus to others, and many people, whenever they feel that someone's trying to sell Jesus to them, put up their guard. I think there's a way to share the gospel without feeling like a telemarketer that needs to make Jesus into a product. Motives matter when sharing Jesus and when being a good neighbor. The book mentions having ulterior motives versus ultimate motives. It says ulterior motives, ulterior means something is intentionally kept concealed. An ulterior motive is usually manipulative. It's when we do or say one thing in the open but intend or mean another thing in private. An ultimate motive, it says, means the furthest point of the journey. An ultimate goal is an eventual point or a longed-for destination. The book says that an ulterior motive in a good neighbor must never be to share the gospel, but the ultimate motive is to share the story of Jesus and his impact on our lives. Sounds kind of the same, but it goes on to explain that the difference being that the well-meaning tendency to be friends with people for the sole purpose of converting them to our faith to the point of being pushed to our timetable or expectations instead of allowing God to be at work. You see, we are to love people, our neighbors, every person, period. The commandment to love our neighbors that we read in the scriptures does not have a further explanation for us other than to be loving towards our neighbor as a response of our love of Jesus and Jesus' love of us. In Matthew, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In Jesus' time, they had these small wicker lamps, and which gave a little light in the average home that had a few windows. They were most effective when they sat on a lampstand. Even the smallest of lights lifted up can chase away darkness. Light removes darkness. In the same way that Jesus' life and message of salvation brought light to us. We are the light of the world. The arrival of the kingdom of heaven. We not only carry the light of the gospel of the kingdom of God, but we are that light. And when people around, when we're around people for any period of time, we begin to share who we are. We begin to share what we love. We're able to be our authentic selves with others. We share what we enjoy doing with our time, how we spend our time. It's part of our story. It's part of letting our light shine. Some of you know that I'm now one of the volunteer chaplains for the Austin Fire Department. And one of the things that the leaders wanted us to know from the very beginning is that we're not there to convert the firefighters to Christianity or to be part of a particular church. Chief Bennison, who helps recruit and interview possible chaplains, said the focus we're looking for in the chaplaincy program is to build relationships, boost morale, and find common ground and trust with the firefighters. The firefighters are not a project. I wonder if there's something that we can also, I think that's what this book's been saying also from the very beginning, that I wonder that it's not about knocking on every door and seeing if they're saved or not, or being pushy, trying to sell Jesus using fear and manipulation. There's some folks that do that. But Chief Bennison said that over time, those relationships might develop and they may want to know more about a particular religion or faith tradition. And if they ask, then of course, share that information with them. Now, are we hiding who we are? No. I'm known as Chaplain JJ. We have a shirt that, you know, will say Chaplain JJ on it. Austin Fire Department, we'll have a badge that says Chaplain JJ. It doesn't say, you know, I don't know what else it could say, but it, you know, it says who we are. But you see, our ultimate motive is above our ulterior motive. And the ways in which we live out our ultimate motive for the firefighters and for our neighbors is to allow the light and the joy of Christ to shine in us, and then to be in relationships with others, so that they might see your good deeds and maybe, eventually, hopefully, God willingly glorify the Father in heaven. That's our ultimate motive. That's our ultimate motive. But we know that that's up to God and not us. And I don't know about you, but I'd give God thanks for that. That I don't have to have ulterior motives. I can just have an ultimate motive and allow God to take care of that. And I just have to let my light shine. And I just have to allow, be who I am for the world around us. I invite all of us to do that and allow God to do the transforming and allow God, that God might be glorified. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this church and the ways in which you have indeed blessed it, that we might be a blessing towards others in so many different ways. That the light that you have lit in each one of us in our response to you might shine brightly for the world, and that it might be lived out through the ways in which we treat each other and those around us. So that hopefully in your timing, Lord, through relationship, they might come to know of your saving grace that we know of here. God, we love you and we thank you. We praise you. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.